As we come together here this evening, our brother Marvin has prepared a few words for us that the Lord has instructed us to listen to live by. And I know that our brother Marvin would appreciate your silent prayers, your kind attention as he brings us that message. Our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. We will start in the book of James tonight, chapter 1, and I'll read verse 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so we are commanded to be doers of the word. That means keeping the commandments of God. To hear the words of God preached unto the people. That's what we are to do. Now I know there are people that not able to be here, sick and that. But you know, there are those that are not here. It's a problem throughout the world in the local churches of the Church of Christ. We have people that are not attentive, as the commandment says we shall attend off. That doesn't mean once and every 3 months or whatever. But when the doors are open, this is when we should be here. But you know, if we're sick, we can't be here. If we have to work on Sunday, we can't be here. Or if we're on vacation or what, you know, we can't be here. But just not to come is not to keep in the commandments of God. And when you don't keep the commandments of God, then you're in trouble. We need to repent of these things we do in this life. That is not according to what the Lord would have us to do. So we got to be a doer of the word and not hearers only, but doers. Obey the law of God that he has given. I'd like to go back in the book of Matthew, 7th chapter, verse 21 and 22, I'll read here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. And so, here we are to be doers of the word, as it says here. We are to follow the Lord. And if we love the Lord, we'll be here, we'll search the scriptures. But we have a problem in searching the scriptures. We can all read them. But most of the people can remember better than I can now today. But we forget what we read. Seems to be a common situation. I forget very easily, and I know I'm not alone. But still, we need to search the scriptures to try to follow what the Lord has given. I'd like to turn over in the book of Luke, 16th chapter. Verse 13th verse. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and that's what we cannot do if we want to be in the kingdom of heaven. We got to follow what the Lord has given and to follow our Lord and Savior. As you read in John, up around 10th chapter and there, you know, he's speaking to the followers there that claim they follow him and believe him. But when he tells them the things that they have to do, that he come from his Father and he doeth the will of his Father, they don't like it. They just don't want to believe him at all. And you know, that's the way it is in the world today, really. Of all the churches in the world, you know, it says there in the 10th chapter of John, first verse, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the shepherd fold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The door is Jesus Christ. We've got to come into his church. This church of Christ is the door to hear. And so we have to follow the Lord, what he has given. We can't serve two masters. We may not think we are. I'm sure we don't. But so much of the time, sometimes we do step over the line and follow the wrong master. I'd like to go over in the book of Timothy. First chapter of Timothy and begin on verse 8. "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." As it says here, the law is not made for a righteous people. I was watching some news here in the last few days. You know, the riot they was having. I don't know where the riot was at, but it was here in this country, all right. But it showed some of the rioters kicking out the windows in the stores. You know, you could see them. Will they do anything to those people? You know, they got them on picture, video, so they know who it is, but will they do anything about it? I don't know. And then it showed another video of the people had a man there that had passed out or something. I don't know. They was going to burn him up in the fire they had it going. Then, you know, the policeman stopped it. But, you know, that's evil, people. Evil is what it is. We're seeing more of that all the time, and we're going to see more of it even yet. War is coming. Well, you might say war's already started. But the law is not made for righteous people. It's for the wicked. The law is made. I'd like to go over here in 1 Peter. First Peter and 2 chapter. In verse 1, I'll start and read a little. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And the Lord is gracious to his people, to all people. You know, the Lord has no desire to see people destroyed. He would that all of them would repent and come unto him. But the law, as it says here, envying, you know, the evil speaking, malice, as little children, you know. Little children, when they get in a scrap or something, you give them a little bit of time, half an hour, hour, 2 hours, and they're buddies again. I can remember very well where I lived as a young fella. Next to another family, they had, the oldest boy was my age, and then there was three more of them besides him, and we would get into it just quite regular. Fight, black eyes, bloody nose, and such not. But you know, in an hour or 2 hours, or even the next day, we're the best of friends. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Forget. Forgive one another. Let us not harbor a grudge or dislike, whatever, in our hearts. That's what we should do not. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Milk of the Word, that's the gospel. How do we partake of it? We search it. We listen to the preachers. We study it. We learn it. And the Holy Spirit will touch our understanding on some of the things. Yes, there are some things I do not understand in the Scriptures. I don't. But as Nephi says, the Holy Spirit of the Lord makes those things known to the people. Well, I guess I'm one that doesn't understand all those things. There's some things I just, is a mystery to me in the Scriptures. I don't know. Maybe everybody has problems where they can't understand those things, but, excuse me, but I know from time to time I've wanted to know some things and they stumped me, and the Lord has shown me by His Spirit what those things mean. And so I've been happy to hear, learn of those things. But we got to be forgiven people. We can't hold a grudge against a brother or sister, because when we violate the law in one thing, we're guilty of all the law, because we have not humbled ourselves as we should. I'd like to go into the Book of Mormon here and read a little bit. Page 162. And I'll start with verse 27. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. You know, that straight and narrow path is this Church of Christ, being baptized into it. I would ask if all is done. Is all everything done just because we got baptized into the church? No, it is not all done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come this far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And so we are to feast upon the words here in the Scriptures. It means we have to open the book and read on them. And I'm sure most of us do that. But as I say, we have people that don't come to church very often for some reason or another. I don't know. It isn't just a problem here. Every local has people that fall into that category. They don't feast upon the words of the Lord. And why, I don't know. You know, as it says, and endure to the end, we must. And if we're not learning and teaching and obeying the laws of God, then we are in trouble. We must be obedient to the words that the Lord has given us here in the Scriptures. You know, we're very fortunate people. There's a lot of people in the world, the biggest part of them, that do not accept this Book of Mormon. But you know, it come forth because it's got the fullness of the gospel in it. And so we're fortunate to have it. And we can compare the two books and see. But we must obey the Lord and follow Him in humbleness, strip ourselves of pride and hardness of heart. That's what we got to get rid of. You know, as I said before, pride is Satan's tool to lead us all astray if we can. Makes us think that we're a little bit better than our brothers and sisters or whatever. But that isn't the way we are to be at all. We're to look to the Scriptures and to follow them as much as we can. I'd like to go over in the Book of Mormon on page 555. For their laws, that's verse 64 on page 555. For their laws and their government were established by the voice of the people, and they which chose evil were more numerous than they which chose good. Therefore, they were ripening for destruction, for the law had become corrupted. That's a little bit like it is in our country today. We're seeing the same situation. They are bringing forth laws that is in violation of our Constitution. The people are becoming more wicked all the time. These riots you see where they tear up property and beat up people for no reason at all. That's the way some of the Nephites here become evil, just like that. And that is not any good at all. I'd like to back up on page 554 and read a little bit on begin on verse 54. And it come to pass, because of the greatness of the number of the Lamanites, the Nephites were in great fear, lest they should be overpowered and trodden down and slain and destroyed. You know, they become evil. And so many of the Nephites descended from them and went over to the Lamanites. And, you know, they encouraged the Lamanites to come against the Nephites. They just was creating problems all the time by the evil that was among the people. Yea, they began to remember the prophecies of Alma and also the words of Mosiah. And they saw that they had been a stiff-necked people, and that they had set at naught the commandments of God. You know, that's pretty easy to set the commandments of God aside and do your own thing. That's what the Nehors here have done, you know. They thought anything they could do which was right in their own eyes was all right, whether it was wrong or not. And now seeing that their laws had become corrupted and that they had become a wicked people, insomuch that they were wicked like unto the Lamanites. And because of their iniquity, the church had begun to dwindle, and they began to disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy, and the spirit of revelation, and the judgments of God did stare them in the face. Excuse me. And they saw that they had become weak, like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. and that the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them, yea, it had withdrawn from them, because the Spirit of the Lord does not dwell in unholy temples. And you know, the ministry there preached among them, and that was Nephi and Lehi, the sons of Helaman, were they. And they had pretty good success. In fact, very good success, not pretty good, but very good. It speaks here that they converted 8,000 of them to the gospel of God. And then, you know, they went to the land of Nephi, first landing up there. And they were captured by the Lamanites, and, you know, they were put in prison. And before it was all over with, you know, the Lord was there with them in power. And those that wanted to put them to death and was mistreating them and abusing them, the Spirit of the Lord come in there, and they were all converted, all converted. And they went forth in great power, the people did, all of them. And they had a greater time of peace among the people at this time than ever before. They could go, the Lamanites could go among the Nephites where they wanted. The Nephites could go among the Lamanites as they wanted. And there was that peace among them. But it didn't last all that long before there was troubles again. But, you know, Satan works upon people to lead them aside at all times. He works upon everybody, even me. He works upon to lead me away, to do that which is wrong. He loves to work upon the Church of Christ members. Those are the ones he wants to lead aside. The others of the world, so many of them he has already in his pocket. But we have to be faithful to him in keeping his commandments, to walk humbly before the Lord, and to have that charity and love within our hearts that we should have. I'd like to go back into Proverbs in the Bible. That'll be the 8th chapter of Proverbs. And I'll read verse 13 here. Excuse me. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yeah. And arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So these are the things the Lord hates. He hates pride. He hates those that will not keep his commandments. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, the fear of the Lord is to keep his commandments. Those are the things we need to do, as I read. You know, the commandments are made for a wicked people. The righteous really don't need them. They're walking the steps of God all the time. That's where they should. I'd like to back up here in the 3rd chapter of Proverbs and read here a little bit on the 9th verse. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so we are to be charitable, to help one another in all of these things. I'd like to go back into Psalms here. Be on Psalms 119. And I'll begin on verse 137. 137. I don't know why this 119th is broke up like it is, but It is on verse 137. Righteousness art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Isn't that true? My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. And you know, there are a lot of people that despise Christians or people that's trying to keep the law. Take the law around to them in the gospel. It's not always good what happens. I am small and despised and yet do not I forget thy precept. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, and thy commandments are my delight. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Well, he shall live, but we shall also live as well by keeping the commandments of the Lord as we should. I'd like to go back into the book of Malachi. In fact, chapter 1 of Malachi. I'll start with verse 6 and read a little bit. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Now here, you know, it had come into the church, this trouble. They didn't like the ways of the Lord and things he was doing. They were not righteous people. Ye other offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? You know, they were supposed to offer that which had no spot or disfigurement in them at all, but that which was perfect they were to offer to the Lord. Just as the Lord was perfect, so was what they to offer up a lamb or go kid or whatever. They were not to be sick or hurt or anything. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Well, you know, the governor would not accept something like that. And now I pray thee, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been my means, will be regarded. This has been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Well, only if we repent of our ways. You know, he would have everybody repent. He don't care to see anybody walk away or do that which is evil. But he wants the people to follow that which is always good and just and right. He expects us to have that charity within our hearts, to be kind to one another. I read here, this is one of the songs in the book. I think it's 362, but I'm not sure. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Is that not so, yielding to sin? That's what it is, the temptations. That's what Satan puts before you all the time as a glitter, something that looks real good. He is doing that. Shum, evil companions, that's what we need to do. Shum, evil companions. Well, I don't think we need to really worry about that because I don't think any of us do that. Bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Now, this is something that can happen pretty easy. A person can use the Lord's name in vain all the time. I worked with a fellow, well, more than one fellow, but one particularly. He couldn't open his mouth, but what he wasn't cussing the Lord, using the Lord's name in vain all the time. I had another fellow that used bad language, and I finally got him broke of that. I kept telling him, "You're burning my ears with your language." And I finally got him to quit using those bad words. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer. And that's what we will do, is conquer. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort you, and keep you. That's what we need to do. We need to remember to save. Say our prayers all the time, morning, noon, and night, and other times as well. It's easy to get busy in the things of the world and forget this. I'm kind of guilty of that. I get busy during the day, and I think, my goodness. But he does hear me. I sometimes... He helps me in my driving. If he didn't help me, I'm sure there'd be a wreck. It just amazes me how he helps me. And he will comfort you and keep you. He is willing to help you. And that's what he is. He's willing to help every one of us if we but call upon him and look to him for that help and guidance. He hears our prayers if we are humble and ask not amiss. We must strip ourselves of pride and hardness of heart, and then the Lord will bless us with those things that we need. And I'm thankful that he does hear me a little bit. But you know, we must not follow that which is wrong and in this walk of life. If we do, we cannot have eternal salvation. So we must humble ourselves and keep his commandments and not put them aside. So, thank you.